Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
One of the ways that you turn and change direction is by setting up protections in your life to separate yourself from the temptation that you're facing. Now, there's all kinds of protections that you can set up. Someone struggles with porn, he can put on filters or accountability things on his computer. Somebody struggles with food. There's all kinds of different things you can set up. Now, protections in and of themselves will do nothing as long as your heart is still in love with that sin. You will find a way around that thing. You'll find a way. I mean, you'll become a computer expert if you have to. You'll find a way around any filter, any kind. So as long as your heart's still in love with the sin, it's not going to work. But if you're really repenting, one of the fruits of repentance is, I'm going to distance myself from this thing. I'm not going to hang around close to this temptation. If I'm not willing to take action to distance myself from temptation, and I know that when I'm in close proximity, I'm going to cave, then what am I saying? I'm planning on caving, right? So again, back to the adultery relationship that Scripture uses so much. If the wife is in love with this other man, and she's like, okay, I've made a decision, I'm going to break it off. Well, then she needs to actually take some actions, like say, he calls and say, don't ever call me again. I'm blocking your number. We're done. Click. And then unfriend him from Facebook and get rid of his phone number and take whatever action you can to make it clear to your own heart and to God, okay, I can't help it if we bump into each other in the grocery store or something, but what I can help, I'm going to do. The steps I can take, I'm going to take. And if a person won't, if she won't do that, if she won't get rid of his phone number, she won't unfriend him from Facebook, if she won't do that, if she won't do that stuff, she's not serious. She's proven. She's not really repenting. She's not serious about repentance. This is Proverbs 5:8. Don't go near the door of her house. So take a look at Proverbs 5:8. In fact, we'll just go through Proverbs 5-7 real quick here. Now, here it's all about sexual sin, but you can use this immoral woman here, I think, as just a personification of temptation in general. So whatever temptation you face, you just plug that in to these three chapters, Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, and you'll find all kinds of helpful stuff in here. And look at verse 3. The lips of the adulteress drip honey. Okay, this temptation, her lips drip honey. Her speech is smoother than oil. What does it mean?
It's enticing.
It's enticing. I mean, it sounds good, looks good. This is going to be pleasurable. I'm going to like this. It's very enticing. But in the end, she's bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Every one of us that's been in enslaving sin knows exactly what that means, right? You get done with it, and you hate yourself. You're disgusted. You're sick. You're not happy. You're certainly not fulfilled. It doesn't give what it promises. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. Look at verse 8. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Stay away. Just don't go close. What happens with us is we get so we're strong. We're not feeling any temptation. We let our guard down. It's like, I'm strong now. I'm not feeling one bit of temptation. And so you go near the door of her house. Like, oh, I can handle this. I'm strong. I'm not even feeling temptation. So I'll get closer and closer to the door of her house. And I think what's happening there is Satan is just luring you in. He does that to us. You know, how many times has Satan done that to us? You know, he lures us in by letting us. I think Satan goes out of his way to see to it that we're not tempted until we get far enough into his trap. This happens with young couples all the time. You got a young guy and a gal are dating, and they're in love with each other, and they start falling into sexual sin and stumbling. Like, we gotta get our act together. We can't be doing this. This isn't pleasing to God. So let's just maintain purity, you know. And so then they're real careful, and they're doing really well, and they're really strong, and they're not even tempted. And I think Satan's going out of his way, just like give them no desire whatsoever, so they're not tempted at all. So that they'll go and they'll. Okay, we weren't going to spend time alone together, but, you know, in this case, we had a group, but then they left, and now it's just us, and we're watching this movie, and we're on the couch, and it's getting late, but it's all right. I'm not tempted. I'm strong. We're not tempted. We're doing good. And then now it's 1 a.m, and you just watched a movie, and you're tired, and you're on the couch, and nobody's around, and you're just like all the way into the devil's trap, and then all of a sudden, boom, the temptation just comes with full blast, and before they even know what happened, they've already fallen into sin. And then after that, it's like, where did that come from? I don't know what hit me. It came out of the blue, you know. We do this. We're strong. We go near the door of her house, and then we get trapped. Look at chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 6. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner. Okay, this guy's a fool right off the bat. Why? Because he's going down the street, and he's like going near her corner, walking along now in the direction of her house. It's like, I'm not going inside her house. I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going down the street near her house. When? At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Okay, sexual sin. It's not a good time of day. If you struggle with that kind of sin, it's not a good time of day. How many of you, the sin you struggle with, there's certain times of day when it hits, when it's the worst, when it's the most susceptible. You know? So, and you know what those times are, right? Typically, it's not just random. It's typically certain times of day when you're, well, this guy, it's a bad time of day, bad place to be, and he's just putting himself, he's getting closer and closer. And then verse 10, and then out came a woman to meet him. And she's dressed like a prostitute, crafty intent. She's loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the corners, every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him. Boom, it's over. That's all. That's it. She wins now. It's done. She's got all these arguments. I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfilled my vows. Okay, that's food. That's what that's all about. You do the fellowship offerings, you fulfill your vows, then you bring home the extra food. You got all this food. She knows the way to a man's heart, right? I got all this food in my house. I'll cook for you. And so I came out to meet you. I looked for you and I found you. I mean, I'm interested in you. You're just an object of my desire. And she's appealing to his ego. And then she starts talking about her bed. I've covered my bed with colored linens in Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon and everything. Come, and then she just comes right out with it. Let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. She doesn't call it immorality. She doesn't call it adultery. She calls it love. And then her husband, my husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his purse. He's filled with money, and he's not be home till the full moon. So he's gone. He's not going to come home. He's not going to show up. It's all right. We're just alone. No dangers. And there might be a little bit here of maybe some sympathy. My husband, he's never there for me. He's always at work. He's always gone on trips. I'm so lonely. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. All he was doing is walking down the street, kind of near her corner. Next thing you know, boom, he's in there. He got too close. He got too close. So Proverbs 5:8, don't go near the door of her house. So decision, contrition, protection. Set up some protection. Secure a perimeter where temptation is removed as much as possible from your life. You can't remove it altogether, but you don't have to put yourself in a position where it's going to be there in front of you all the time. You know, there's certain things that you'll notice you'll fall to. There's certain places you drive and you notice signs and shops and stores and that sell the thing that you're tempted. And you know, you if you drive down that way, that's where your heart is going to start going. There's certain websites if you struggle with salacious things online, you might go. There might be a sports website that you go and check the scores, but that particular sports website, it has these little ads, you know, that come up, and then you're just a little curious about them, you know, or a news site that's got some questionable stuff, and you just click one thing to another, and you finally realize, okay, I can't handle that. I can't go. I can't be checking scores on that website. That's it. Gone. You know. We need to take this seriously. We need to take it to extremes. And the reason I say take it to extremes is because Matthew 5:29, Jesus talked about amputation. You know, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. For it would be better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. We have to be like the Israelites who are going into the promised land where God says, wipe out every single creature, every living thing. You leave one person alive, they're going to entice your heart, you're going to be drawn in. So what is it in your life, certain TV shows, or TV at all, certain times a day? That's what it is for me. It's not so much certain shows. For me, it's just like certain times a day, certain times, like at night. If I'm at night alone, I can't be watching TV alone at night. This is not good for me. Or for that matter, being alone certain times. Certain days, certain seasons, certain times a day, just being alone. There might be single people that have to figure out, okay, I need to get a roommate, I got to do something, I can't be alone. Facebook, YouTube, certain foods in the house.
Certain people,
friends. Maybe it's a job. You gotta quit this job. You gotta find another job. You know. Maybe it's certain channels on TV. We had a thing on our TV once where there's a couple of channels that had stuff on there, and it was tempting to me. And I ended up having to put a password protection on there, not for my kids, for me. Now, was that easy for me to do? Was that embarrassing for me to ask Tracy to put a password on the channels for TV? Yes. Yeah. Is it embarrassing for me to say this now in front of all you and then on radio and TV and internet and everything? Yes. Yes. But whatever embarrassment it causes, I don't care. I'll pay whatever price I have to do. I don't want to be assaulted every day with temptation in my own house. I realize I can't protect myself from temptation altogether, but as long as life continues, I'm going to be at war. I know that, but I don't want to fill up my house with the enemy's machine guns and cannons and traps and snares and nooses. Because I don't have a 100% success record in resisting temptation. And so I don't want to subject myself to it unnecessarily. Yeah, so you live in a house with your husband. Your husband likes all that junk food, and you're addicted to that stuff. So you're trying to you can't just empty your house. I mean, I realize you can't get rid of all temptation. All I'm saying is the stuff you can get rid of, you must get rid of. So if you're able to say, okay, I won't go in that kitchen from this time to this time, and it's only a 2-hour window in the day, so all the other times you have to be in there, well, then that's what you can do, you know? You can just say, Lord, for the rest, I'm going to need all these other principles that we're going to be learning in this class. But as much as I can, I'm going to remove myself from the proximity to temptation's door as much as I can. Okay, so as you were listening today, what was it that came to mind that's that thing that you need to remove from your path to extricate yourself, to distance yourself so that you're not going near temptation's door unnecessarily? You can't avoid it all, but what can you avoid? What is that thing? What is that lifestyle change that you need to make? Now think big. This could be something major, major. Usually the reason you haven't done it so far is because it would be a huge inconvenience or a big expense or really embarrassing or something. And that's why you have, if it was easy, you would have already done it by now. But is there something, when you first think of it, you think, well, it'd be unreasonable to take that step. But an enslaving sin can send you to hell. This is really serious stuff. This isn't something you want to mess around with, and any price is worth paying. So what is it for you? What needs to go? Get it down on paper. Even if you just feel like you're not quite willing to give it up yet, you need to wrestle with God about it somewhere, fine. But get it on paper so that you don't forget, your flesh doesn't dismiss it and just sort of put it on a back burner. This needs to be dealt with. Get it on paper. And even better, tell someone about it.
Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that this season of the Food for Your Soul podcast will help you tap into deeper and deeper experiences of the fruit of the Spirit, especially self-control. Your thoughts about the materials in these studies are important to us, and they may be helpful for others as well. A link to this podcast is posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page every weekday morning. You're invited to follow that page and post your reactions to that day's content. Your perspectives might be just what someone else needs to gain insight. And when a session is especially helpful, feel free to click on the share button so others can find it too.
This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.